This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so a lot of people are texting me about great midseason acquisitions, and Don, I think you'll agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
1969, the Mets were 9 games back, and they acquired Don Clendenin.
There you go.
That was a big one.
World Series MVP, too, right? In 69.
I believe he was, yeah.
So that was a huge one.
Can't believe we didn't come up with that.
Well, it was on the fly, and it was over 50 years ago.
I get it. I understand.
But we appreciate it.
The Civil War was a long time ago. We kind of know the specifics.
Right, but if we're going to give a top five wars, it might take us a bit to throw out the Civil War.
You wouldn't have it in the top three, the Civil War?
Yeah, it would have to be, yeah.
Yeah. What would be number one? It would have to be World War II, right?
Yeah, but they called World War I the war to end all wars. They were wrong.
Right.
Sadly, I don't want to be a part of that top five.
No, good for you. The Knicks. You know, we're talking about the acquisition of Patrick Kane. The Knicks acquisition of Josh Hart turns out to be really big. It could be the one. That's why we were talking in the first hour, if you missed it, about great midseason acquisitions in New York. And, you know, David Justice played a big role for a Yankee championship. Obviously, Goring is one of the greatest ones, right, Don? Because
yes.
He was the missing piece for the Islanders, and they ended up winning 4 cups.
Right.
But Josh Hart, very quietly, I guess he's almost like a Don Clendenin type, where he's not the big name, he's not a marquee name, but boy, is he important in what he does, and he's perfect. He's a perfect player for Tom Thibodeau. Plays defense, hits timely shots, is unselfish, passes the ball, assists the whole deal, and he brings an energy and electricity to the whole team. And for them to knock out the Celtics like that, even without Jaylen Brown, because as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, he had previously not played in 11 games for the Celtics. And the Celtics this year, they're all about picking each other up and next man up. They were 9-2 in the previous 11 games that he missed. But the biggest thing about yesterday's Knick win was how completely flummoxed Jason Tatum was. I mean, they got inside. He ended up scoring 16 points lower than what he averages and got thrown out of the game. And after a while, no one would come in the paint and challenge Mitchell Robinson. So Robinson just takes this team to another level. And during the 6-game winning streak, you know how many points they're averaging per game, Peter? 120. The last time they scored under 100 points was back in December, I think. And that was when they made the change to a 9-man rotation, which is really what jump-started this whole thing. And then they ended up getting Josh Hart before the trade deadline. So that's a great look for Leon Rose. We've criticized him. We criticized him for not getting Donovan Mitchell, the whole deal. But the Josh Hart acquisition for a first-round draft pick, very quiet, very effective. And now the Knicks are in the conversation to do some damage in the playoffs. Can they beat the top three teams in the best of 7? I'd say it was incredibly unlikely. But they could beat Cleveland. All they have to do, get to the 5th spot, maybe even jump to the 4th, which is doable, then have home court advantage at the Garden, which they're defending more than they were. And I like the cut of their jib, guys. I really do.
I like the ball rotation. I like the fact that they can score. I like the fact that they've been able to string some wins together here. A 6-game winning streak may not be what the Bucks have done, you know, winning 14 straight, but it's still great for them. I think you could really set your sights on trying to get to the second round of the playoffs. You haven't done that since 2013. So it's been 10 years since you got out of the first round. And I think the best way to do that, Michael, I know it's only one game. A possible game 7 would be in their building if they got the 4 seed. I think it's more significant than just the one game. Starting out at home, the way this crowd would be apoplectic to be able to host a playoff series, I think it would be very important and very beneficial for them to be a 4 seed to advance to the second round than a 5.
And this is not, you know, just a quick winning streak. They've done this over half the season. They're 26-14 in their last 40 games. And one guy who's kind of flying under the radar and is seeing a lot more important action is Emmanuel Quickley. 23 points off the bench, 7 of 13 shooting. The guy's a really good free throw shooter. He has become a very, very good player. And that was a good pick by the Knicks. Wasn't as highly valued by other teams, but they saw something. And I think, you know, World Wide West had a lot to do with picking Quickley as well. And a lot of people asked for Quickley when the Knicks are talking trade, and the Knicks kept saying no. And that looks like that was the right move to make. So they beat the Celtics. They have the Nets tomorrow. Then they have Miami down in Miami on Friday. And then they play Boston on ESPN on Sunday night. So we're going to know a lot after that stretch.
Also, guys, if they keep if Mitchell Robinson keeps giving them basically the same thing every night.
Little double-double?
Double-double. By the way, he's missed like one shot since Friday, since the second half of the season. I think he's like 15 for 16 from the floor, has over 10 boards in every game and a block or two every game. Guys, if they get that from him, this is a different team. We said it's now kind of show and prove time for Mitchell Robinson. Granted, he's not putting up insane numbers, but he's putting up awesome, consistent numbers and being a force in the middle, which is what they need him for.
So that's the Knicks situation with them beating the Celtics yesterday in really convincing fashion. Great, great win. They held off some runs by the Celtics, and you just had the feeling that the old Knicks would have given it back. They didn't. So they get down to 8, they bring it back up to 13, get down to 9, bring it back. I mean, they answered every Boston run with a run of their own. So congratulations to the Knicks. It's hard to look for any negative with this team right now because they have done so well. They should be awfully proud. And the key to yesterday's game, their big guys didn't have big games. I think their big three, Barrett, Randall, and Brunson, had 50 points.
Right.
And that's a lot lower than they average. The only thing that I would be concerned about with the Knicks, but they played around it, guys, R.J. Barrett is not the same player. Ever since he lacerated his finger, remember, he was getting hot right before then. Then he sat out for a while. I think it was 6 games. He has not been the same. And he's not on the floor at the end of games. They just don't trust him. They got to work that out.
And I think they will, or find a way where it's not going to be as big the way right now it hasn't been an issue. You know what I also like, guys, is that this winning streak's continued after the All-Star break. Right? It didn't stunt their momentum right at all, taking that week off. They just hopped right back in, which tells me it's not so much a hot streak. It's just maybe that's who they are.
Now, one thing that we should also note.
Okay.
Julius Randle is a horse.
That's...
All right, so he missed one game his first year. Last year, he missed 2 games with COVID, and then they shut him down at the end of the season, 5 games with a hamstring injury. But he answers the bell. He's played every single game this year, and I love what Charles Barkley said, by the way. Did you see that?
No, what'd he say?
Oh, he said about, you know, load management. He said you make $70 million. He was being, you know, a little bit hyperbolic. He said you make $70 million a year. You have the best trainers, the best doctors in the world. You have your own chefs. You can't play every single game. He said, I'm sure that the guy who's working a manual labor job doesn't feel like working sometimes too, but you know what? He works
and doesn't get paid well and doesn't have any of the help.
Right.
Well, I like hearing Michael. It sounds like you're kind of on my page from yesterday. Like, sure, the guy is not the superstar that you guys dreamed of. You know what it's like? You know what it's like, the relationship with Julius Randle? It's like you ended up in a relationship with a partner, a woman or man, whatever. And you fall in love with this person, and you have a great relationship with them. And you're like, you know, when I was young, I just always pictured myself with Christie Brinkley. But every day, this person's there. They help you with the kids. They help you around the house. They do their share of work. They do everything. They're a really solid partner. And rather than be happy with what you have, you spend every day thinking about, like, oh, yeah, but what if I was with Beyonce? Well, listen, we don't have Beyonce. But Julius Randle, to Michael's point, shows up every single day. And it's been like this now for 4 years. Don and I took a call yesterday, Michael, after you went to the game. A guy who said that Julius Randle's interaction with the fans last year was, quote, unforgivable.
You imagine that?
Give me a break. Not only is it forgivable, I got news for you. 90% of the fan base has clearly forgiven him and moving on.
And have forgotten.
So that's a ridiculous. The guy is, listen, When he has the ball in his hands for too long, we even saw it at times last night, guys. When he tries to force and create for himself, he's not that guy. And that is sort of an Achilles heel for him at times. But by and large, man, the guy, the stuff that that guy gives you every night, I'll take it.
Yeah, he's a stud. He could be one of your top three players on a team that wins a championship.
Absolutely.
I think he can. I don't think he could be the I'm sure he can't be the main guy, but he could be one of your top three. He could be like, I don't know, your Chris Bosh. And I'm not comparing them as players and talent, but he could be your Chris Bosh if you have a LeBron and you have a Wade.
Your Draymond, even though it's a different kind of game.
Yeah.
But the third guy who's really important.
Right.
I think he could even be the second guy. I do.
He might be able to.
Or like, or if they were to get a big star, I think him and Brunson could be sort of two and 2A.
And I think Brunson has been a real good elixir for what ailed him last year. Because the ball sticks with him. He dribbles too much and he gets stripped a lot and he just, it sticks there. Brunson doesn't allow it to stick. He gets him the ball in places where he can score. And that's what a great point guard does. He makes people better. And Brunson has made Randle better. He's made him better. Randle's averaging 25.1 points per game and 10.5 rebounds. That's a stud. And he's one of the best players in basketball because he made the All-Star team. And he didn't make the All-Star team by some ridiculous fan vote. He got chosen by the coaches. So, good on him. Now, so the Knicks are set. We've solved that problem. Now, the Rangers look like they're trying to get set. And, you know, just as we got on the air, we find out Emily Kaplan of ESPN broke that Patrick Kane is now a Ranger. And that's not just any player, Don. I mean, again, you know I'm no hockey aficionado.
Right.
That's an all-time great, right?
He's a star. He's a future Hall of Famer. They acquired a future Hall of Famer. He's got three Stanley Cups. He's got an MVP. He's got a Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year. He won a Conn Smythe when they won the Cup in 2013. He's 34 years old. He's going to be 35 in November, so they're getting him towards the end of his career. But this guy has been there, done that. He's played in a major market. He's played in the Olympics. I mean, he is everything you're asking for in a player for a team that's looking to win a Stanley Cup. And Tarasenko is going to get better. Now, Tarasenko's only had two goals since he came here
two
weeks ago.
Yeah, what's been his issue? What do you think
Well, listen, he's got a family. He spent his entire career in St. Louis. You moved to New York. There's going to be an adjustment period. You brought up Martin St. Louis as one of the great acquisitions midseason in New York history. He had like 8 points in his last 17 regular season games after the deal with Tampa. And he goes out there and scored some big goals and was a major reason why they went to the Stanley Cup final. Tarasenko's going to be fine. And Kane's going to get a chance, I think, to play with Panarin and Trocheck, played with Panarin in Chicago, and they really didn't give up anything. Even if they go to the conference final and give up a first-round pick in 2024, what are we doing, Michael? They think they can win the Cup. So why are you going to be so worried about the future when you think you can win a Cup? They went last year to the conference final against Tampa, had a 2-0 series lead. They got Kopp and Vetrano at the deadline last year, lost them both to free agency, and they contributed in the run last year. You basically replace those guys at the deadline a year later with Vladimir Tarasenko and Patrick Kane. So we'll see how it works out. I think they're better than they were last year. Doesn't necessarily mean they'll go as far. Devils are going to be a tough first-round matchup. Carolina is still a very good team that's ahead of them in the division, who they would play in the second round if everything goes according to plan. And then the Boston Bruins lurking, who's having a historic season. But if Zibanejad, if Shesterkin starts to play the way he did last year, he's kind of going through a rough patch right now. They're in the conversation, Michael, and you got to do it. When you have a chance to do it, do it. 1994 was a long time ago. I mean, we're going on 30 years the last time this team's won a championship. So they're going for it, and you got to like it.
Let's go to Jimmy in Staten Island. Jimmy.
What's up, Jimmy, baby? You good?
Good. Mike, real quick before, call Geico instead of AAA. You pay a little extra money for Geico, they come instantaneously.
And I have Geico is my insurance. Okay, that's good to
know. Okay, well, it's good. They'll come quick as hell.
Okay.
Donnie.
Yes.
I'm a little worried about one thing with the Rangers.
Here we go.
Are they losing any of their toughness? Because, you know, they got to get a little more gritty. And with these guys, they're coming in. I get it. They're great guys. But I'm a little afraid, like that Washington game. It looked like they got bullied around a little bit in Washington.
Well, you're 100% right. All right, Michael, in that game against Washington, they were awful. Washington was riding a 6-game losing streak, had nothing to lose. So they got, after every stoppage, they got in somebody's face, pushing guys around. They had nothing to lose. Game didn't mean anything to them the way it meant to the Rangers. That's not going to be as much of an issue in the postseason. But I do agree with you. They're a skill, finesse team. But you know what? If you had Ryan Reeves, once you get into the playoffs, it's not going to matter as much as it does now. I'd like to see them get a little tougher. But I still think they did the right thing to free up the cap space, and that's what they eventually did with Reeves, sending to Minnesota to free up that cap space for this eventual move for Kane. So you'd still do it 8 days a week if you had the chance.
And Mike, forget about telling Donnie how to call Ranger games. He's better than Kenny Albert, I'm telling you.
Wow.
Oh, my God. He's better than Kenny Albert. You know why? He's got passion when he announces the game. Passion. I love listening to Donnie. I go back and forth constantly. Donnie, better than Kenny Albert. Book it.
Well, listen, I love you. I'd kiss you on the lips if you were with me. But I can't go for that. Kenny's a walking god. He's a god walking among us. Wow. Who else does all four sports? Who?
I couldn't take
all day. No. You wouldn't be able to come up with somebody. National television hockey, national television NFL, national television baseball. And he fills in for Breen on Knicks. Come on. He's done Olympics.
Do it right
there. That doesn't mean he's better than you in hockey.
Yes, it does.
No.
He's Kenny Albert.
Oh, I understand.
Kenny Albert.
We have the same birthday.
Kenny Albert is the lead voice on TNT. TNT had their pick of the litter. They just got the rights last year. You know who they chose? They chose Kenny Albert. Didn't choose
maybe
me.
Because you have a bad agent.
I couldn't even get an interview.
That's your agent.
Couldn't get an audition. Come on, Russ does a great job.
Yeah, how do you not get an interview?
Well, because
you're Don LaGreca. You call more Ranger games than Kenny. Come on, Russ.
I'm not as upset with TNT as others.
Yeah, but the home team.
That's all right. They don't like me. I'll just do better. I'll just keep doing a better job. Make them pay.
That's right.
And by the way, you know who's right there with Kenny? Seriously, Wischusen.
Oh, yeah, the Wheeze is good.
Have you heard Wischusen do a hockey game?
Bob! Bob's good at everything.
And he does football, and he does basketball. I don't think he's ever done baseball on a national level.
And you know what? He's perfect for baseball because he never shuts up. And there's so much dead time before the pitch clock. Wischusen would have been gold.
I'm guilty of this too, Peter, but I'd love one day to throw out a compliment to Wischusen where that doesn't turn out to be the conversation at the end of it.
But I really do like Bob. Can't I have a little fun?
Oh, it's fun, and it's true. But I would like him to
get
more love.
You're the one who says
really
that
awesome.
he does things to himself over his voice.
He loves his voice. But it's all right. It's a great voice. It's a great voice to love.
No one in this group really has a kick coming on the subject.
What do you mean?
I mean, we all like our own voices.
I cannot stand my voice.
No, Rick, he's always said that.
I understand he may not literally like it, but he believes the world is worthy of hearing him for 8 hours a day. So, I mean, you and
I
the world
should
fight
that.
Through it.
People that hire me believe that.
But
but you obviously think you're okay. You know.
No, I think I'm a hack. I like Don used to say, I'm amazed I'm here.
Yeah, but at some point, Michael, with all the work that you continue to receive and have done in your life, that you think that opinion would eventually change for you?
No. I think it's going to change on Thursday when I do First Take and I debate Stephen A.
Are you worried about that at all?
Yeah, quite. Very much so.
Now, Peter and I did First Take with Rick DiPietro. I think they wanted Peter and Rick, but they didn't want to insult me, so they had me go. Because really, you're not going to get three people to debate. That doesn't make any sense. They just didn't want to insult me. But Stephen, we were filling in for Stephen.
But that's the thing. It was First Take of Jays because we were filling in for Stephen.
Was Molly there?
No. Everybody had taken a vacation.
We saw Molly.
So it was a ghost town when you
remember?
We saw Molly.
That was when the whole thing started with Molly coming by and complimenting me. If you look, Anthony, do you see a drop there about Don doing an impression of Molly Karam saying hello to me?
Oh, Pete, I am such a fan.
It was
she
not
really
far
did
off.
That?
No, she did.
She stopped me. It was very nice.
And you had never met her before?
No, I didn't know.
It was almost It was kind of close to how Bob feels about his own voice.
I mean, that, Peter, had to get you through at least a month.
Oh, here we go. I think I found it. Well, I know what you're saying there. And where'd you put it? Go ahead and just play it, Anthony.
Oh, Peter, I am such a huge fan of your work.
That's exactly what, that's Molly Karam to a T.
So Molly Karam on that day sounded like Betty Davis in one of those 1920 movies.
Very interesting.
Interesting.
Wow, so it's this Thursday.
It's this Thursday.
So you, Stephen, mano a mano.
You know what worries me, though? So today I had to get up at like 5 to 7.
Right.
Because I had these two doctor's appointments in Long Island. I looked in the mirror and I really did look like absolute unadulterated trash.
Damn it, it was diarrhea.
I did. I mean, the bags under my eyes. I mean, how am I going to look on national television? I hope the lighting is good.
You're going to be fine.
And, you know, Stephen A's aggressive. I mean, it's his show, too. Am I supposed to win the debate? Am I supposed to come at him with, like, roundhouse rights?
I think you should go in there.
Right.
Don't kiss the ring. Go in there to win every debate.
But he does run the network.
Doesn't matter.
Michael, he loves you, first of all. You're not going to say something that he's going to make the phone call. He goes, Michael K is done. That's not going to happen.
And he doesn't want to win by default. He doesn't want to win because you don't
want
to disrespect
him. No, he doesn't want charity.
The reason Russo is so good, he goes there to debate him, and it works.
Russo's, you know, career is not tied to ESPN. Mine kind of is in some way.
Well,
so no. if I completely destroy Stephen A in a debate, I'm done.
Can I say something right now?
Yeah.
It's edgy, but don't worry. Chris will never hear it because he doesn't hear the show. His career might not be tied to ESPN, but it is exactly where people are now actually consuming him. I say that with all due respect to Sirius and to Mad Dog Sports on Sirius and to MLB Network. But, Don, you know what I'm saying. Well, this ESPN look for Chris is big.
Well, that's the power because, listen, he does an excellent show on Sirius. And I do see him every once in a while pop up on Twitter because of something he said on Mad Dog Radio. Every Wednesday, he's trending.
Correct.
Because of a conversation he has on First Take with Stephen A.
So it's a monster.
You think I'm
going to
trend on Thursday?
Yes, no question.
You might if you say something
on
good.
On my feed, you will.
Now, real quick. Yeah, but Michael, during the baseball season, Michael trends on my, quote, feed every single day. I'm not kidding. In my For You, Michael K is there every day of the summer, it seems like. Now, real quick, I think we should do this as the show goes on. Anthony, Jacob, can one of you guys, if you get a chance, get us today's topics from First Take?
Ooh.
I'd like to hear what Michael's angles would have been if he was on First Take today.
I love it.
Come on. We got to get my guy ready.
Yeah, we do have to get me ready.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Donald, I have a quiz for you.
Go for it.
And I will buy you sesame chicken if you get this right. The Rangers acquire Patrick Kane.
They certainly do.
He's going to wear number 88. There have been two players in the history of the Rangers that have wore that number. Can you tell me them?
I know Lindros.
I was going to say Eric Lindros.
There it is. There's one.
I got one.
And I believe, because it sticks in my head, because they had those interesting, there was a year or two, Michael, when John Ferguson was the general manager, they actually wore the logo.
Oh, I hated those uniforms.
Ken Hodge.
You got yourself sesame chicken.
Yeah, I love sesame chicken.
Woo, finally.
Wow.
Sesame chicken is very good. Are you a fan, Peter?
Of sesame chicken?
Yeah.
It's my number one.
Yeah.
I even like it.
You do?
Really?
Yeah. I even like
maybe, it. Don, maybe we should reconsider.
Don't you have some giveaway to do right now?
Interesting.
If you want to do it that way, sure I do. Knicks fans, here we go. Coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, it's your chance to hang out with me, which is, who doesn't want to do that?
Who?
I don't.
I'll be a good time. I'll have a couple adult beverages with you. We'll kick it. In a lounge at MSG for the Knicks Charlotte
game.
Now,
can I stop you
for a second? March 7th. Yeah, sure.
Is it the suite or is this a new area that I've never been to?
It is not the, it's not our suite.
It's a lounge.
It's some other lounge situation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds exciting.
You get lucky, you might even meet Rocky. So listen up, listen for your cue in the 5 o'clock hour and come hang out. It's all brought to you by Maker's Mark. Mark the moment with Maker's.
Do it.
For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com.
You know, I was my flight back from Florida a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was a great couple, listened to the show. They had a dog that was a support dog.
Ooh.
But it was not, like, tiny like Rocky.
Oh, it was a big one. Yeah, you see big
not
ones
big,
on planes.
Not big, but, though. Like, it wasn't a humongous dog, but it wasn't a tiny little pocketbook dog. They had to pay a full ticket for the dog.
Good.
They paid a full ticket?
Yeah.
Wow.
They say they always do. They don't want to inconvenience anybody. I go, you know what? You don't need the support.
Oh, wait. They pay for a ticket and they put the dog in a seat?
Yeah, like he's lying on the floor.
Yeah, but what support are they going to have in steerage?
No. I know that. I'm just saying, like, they, like, literally, I know you have to pay to do it, some fee. I've never heard of it being an actual ticket, though.
But if you're taking up a seat.
So they're doing it to be polite so the dog doesn't get in anyone's way.
Right.
Wow, that's very nice.
Because the dog is bigger than Rocky. You know, well, Rocky's the size of a fist.
I mean, you could legit not know Rocky's on a flight.
Right. So you don't have to pay when you take Rocky on the flight.
Like some nominal fee, nothing serious.
Like what?
$50, $80. Like, I'm not saying it's nothing, but it's not a ticket.
I think that's fair.
Do you know that I was on JetBlue, right?
Sure you were. I love JetBlue. Big fan.
Not a fan.
And Jody had booked the ticket for me. And I'm going through security, and I just have a carry-on bag, a roller bag. And they go, this ticket doesn't allow you have a carry. I said, what? What earth? I'm sorry. You have a low-fare ticket, and you're not allowed. I said, I'm not allowed to put this in the overhead bin? No, you're not allowed. They wouldn't even let me go through security. Wow. So I had to go back.
No.
And upgrade to, like, the extra leg room.
Wait a minute.
So it cost me $80 to have a roller board.
Wait, so can I ask you a question? Who booked you the ticket?
Jody did.
Why'd she buy you the cheapest ticket? You're Michael
she
K,
said
for God's
didn't,
sake.
She, well, first of all, there's no first-class tickets in JetBlue. There's extra room seats.
Well, it depends where the flight's going to, but yes.
Well, this was Florida.
For Florida, no. You're going to get only the extra room.
So
but still,
she,
why not?
She said she didn't even know it was, like, a low fare. She just booked the thing that was available, but I've never heard of that. How's that good for your customers?
You haven't seen that? That's a thing?
I've never seen it.
I don't care for that. Because
no,
well, then why couldn't they have just taken your bag? Because that's what happens to me. Like sometimes if there's no room, like that happens sometimes because there won't be any room on my carry-on because I'm like group four or whatever and all the space is taken. So they will take my bag, tag it, and then put it with the rest of the luggage. I didn't have to go back and do anything. They didn't offer that?
Well, I didn't want to check the bag because I was going to get in at like 12:30. I didn't want to wait.
No, but what ends up happening is that when you get off of the plane,
get your
the
bag.
Bag's
No. You couldn't even bring it.
Oh, you know what?
Bring it to the gate.
That's why. Can't get enough of United.
I bet United has a fare where you can do nothing.
But it's amazing that I mean, first of all, the airlines. I mean, it's monopolistic. I know there are different companies, but you either fly or you don't get there. And for them to pull stunts like this to get another $80 out of people,
what about,
so I can lift the thing into the overhead bin.
What about when you buy the ticket? The ticket's $300. You're done. I bought the ticket. Yay. And then you have to go check in and they're like, oh, you got to pick a seat. Well, to get a seat, you have to pay. To pick any sort of seat, you have to pay another $85 or $55.
It's a joke.
It's the whole thing is so wild. And by the way, I think it's such a fundamentally flawed way of making money. Our way of doing it is going to be making everyone pay for everything and be miserable.
You know what I'd rather them do, Peter? Like, say my ticket was $500,
mm-hmm.
right? And without bringing a carry-on bag. just charge me $580. And I don't even know. So it's never even, good like, point. I don't feel like I'm being ripped off so I can lift my bag into the overhead bin. Charge me the $580 and you got your extra money instead of me going back to the counter and paying 80 extra bucks.
Also, I wouldn't be mad as someone with a few bucks in my pocket. I wouldn't be mad if an airline said, we're going to embrace the fact that all of our tickets are a little bit more, but everyone has a pleasant flying experience. You're not in tiny seats. You can bring a bag. Listen, we're marked up 150 bucks more than other airlines. That's our deal. But everyone who gets on the plane is going to have a good, comfortable experience. You can have the worst. If you need to get somewhere, I don't care how much money you have. If you need to get somewhere, sometimes your situation is just terrible. There's no good place to sit. Nothing to do.
Peter, I think we have something that makes Don look bad right now.
What's that?
Really? Ryan Hurley just texted our PD. He said, wasn't that number 88 Rangers jersey question on the game you worked with Dave the other night?
We don't have trivia on the game.
Well, why is he saying that?
Well, because it might have been on the television game, but I was in Washington. Now, we do get the MSG feed, but I'm not looking at the replay when I'm calling the game. And the TV in Washington is behind me. So Dave sits to my right, and then he can look behind me to look at the replay. So it might have been the trivia question, but I didn't see it. I was calling the game.
All right.
So he's saying I'm Fugazi is what
no,
he's saying?
He's saying you're a cheater, that you don't deserve the chicken.
You know what?
You got a lot of people against you.
Well, that one hurts.
Maybe it's time for you to go.
No, because I really had a nice day with Ryan. I got in early today. I found a parking space out front. I sat down. I broke bread with Ryan. I had a nice day. Uh-huh. And his knee jerk was to investigate that I was cheating.
Right.
Meanwhile, we may have a morning guy that has made a living cheating on his trivia. Is he looking
damn? Saying that Stump Rothenberg is fake?
Are they still doing Stump Rothenberg now that they're back in the studio?
Yes.
Has his percentage changed at all?
Not that I know of.
Keep
he's
an
very
eye.
Good at this.
Keep an eye.
Keep an eye.
That's a great point by you.
Well, maybe, you know, it's almost like Siegfried and Roy. I don't think that Rick is going to snitch on him. It's part of the act of the team.
Also, I got to call something out here.
What's that?
Don, Michael always comes at you about Nancy doing everything and you being a big old baby, right?
Yes.
So far in today's show, when Michael was stuck in a ditch, who'd he call?
Right.
No, I didn't call her. No.
Oh, really?
No.
She said Jody. Jody
she
told me to call 911,
and she said, "Are you home yet?" And I said, "Because she's in upstate New York." I said, "No, I slid into a ditch."
Right. So she said,
"Why don't you call 911?" That was it.
Okay. Right. So you called the same number.
I didn't
somebody
run to her and say, "Oh, Jody, what do
call?
I do?"
So you listened to it as soon as she gave the advice, though you took it. Furthermore, what about when it's time to book a flight?
Book every one of my flights for yes. Okay, so they went down to Florida, and I said, maybe I'll do the radio show from there, and so I could surprise the kids. So we were trying to surprise the kids, and she just booked it for me. I didn't even book it. She said, well, let me see what I could get. So you know what, Peter? Take a walk.
Don, I thought that was a good, just some things to note.
You know what? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that in 3 or 4 years. When Natalie is pushing you down Columbus Avenue in a wheelchair,
oh,
and you're an old man.
Oh, my God. In 3 or 4 years. What's horrible about that is that means you're rooting for something terrible to happen.
Why do you guys always say I'm rooting for?
Because why in
3 or 4 years
would I be in a wheelchair unless, God forbid, something awful happened?
That's true.
Well, you know what? She'll be wiping drool off your face, whether at 30 years from now or next week.
Oh. So you're not only in a wheelchair. You're drooling. You're borderline brain dead.
What I'm seeing is not good.
And I know how desperately Michael needs to be right. So he's now rooting for this. That's really nice.
That's
really nice, God forbid, if something happened to Peter.
No, nothing will happen. Let's go to Ross in California. Ross?
Let's hope not, Peter.
I pray.
Hello, Ross.
Hi, Ross. How's Rachel?
Hi.
What's
you
up?
You on to me, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just calling from California.
Sure.
I'm from Glen Rock originally.
Oh, cool.
All you Glen Rockers, hello there. But it's been several decades. Anyway, I wanted to give a shout out to you, Don, because, first of all, hockey's my favorite sport. And, you know, you just bring it every time on your game misconduct program. So
wow.
I'm
Thank
really
you.
Appreciative. But, yeah.
I appreciate
I'm also
it.
Appreciative of this show, Michael, because you guys give me my fix of New York sports. I living out here, I don't get it. So, or not as well as.
So, how do you listen to us on the app? You listen on the app?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I listen to you guys on a podcast download.
Ah, the old podcast.
Well, we appreciate that.
You could also listen live on the Hot 97. I mean, not Hot 97.
Relax yourself.
Sorry, the ESPN New York app.
So, what do you got tonight?
I'm not big on apps, but I just wanted to, you know, let you know, Don, that, you know, I'm like your biggest fan because, you know, Michael, I'm a year older than you, but, and you've known the Yankees forever, but it seems like when you guys get into it, you and Don, it seems like Don has a better of their understanding of the Yankees than you do.
Whoa. And, wow.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
We need an example. Give us an example.
Well, I don't know. I think it's just your general acumen of the sport, you know?
My general acumen or Don's?
I'm sorry?
My general acumen or Don's genuine acumen, whatever.
Well, I think Don has a better understanding of baseball, so that when you guys get into it about the Yankees, it seems like he knows more.
Well, you know what? You seem like a really, kind man.
Don't you be
I'm done with you, and you're out.
Don't restrain. You are such a piece of garbage.
Love Don, okay? Right. Don's the heartbeat of the show. But to say that Don is more in tune in baseball than I am, well, then you're ill-informed or you have bad ears.
You are such a bad... Why don't you just take the L, you know?
No, I'm not taking that L. Taking L that I deserve.
That's the sports equivalent of your mother, is what he said. Are you going after Michael's baseball acumen? That what do you think? Come on, I got to defend Michael.
I think he made some salient points.
pick up the phone, Don. Michael from California.
Michael in California, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how are you? Yeah, you guys are great, but I love Michael the most. Michael, it's funny, Don does the Ranger games, but you have a much better understanding of hockey than Don. How would you take that, Don?
I would disagree with him, no question.
Would you hang up on him immediately?
I didn't hang up immediately. I let him drone on.
Well, you were insulted, and totally. I could understand that.
But the whole start of the call, I'm surprised you let it go on. He's talking about Glenn Rock. He's babbling on about God knows what. Sounds like a great guy, though.
Yeah, he's very chill.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
And there's one thing that bothers me. Well, there's a lot of things that bother me about the combine, where they treat human beings like pieces of meat. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, you know, there's that picture of Tom Brady where he's kind of soft, not quite flabby, but certainly he doesn't look like an athlete. I just want to ask one question to the people that run the NFL and the team. Why are you taking pictures of these guys in their underwear? Why can't you just weigh them, measure them? Why does it have to be a picture out there that continues to torment this guy, although he's done okay? You know what I mean? Why are they taking pictures of the guy in his underwear? Help me, anybody.
I don't know. I don't know why it has to be that way. But I guess they want to see everything about what they're investing in.
No, and you know what I say? Take a good look. Take it all in, baby, but you're not taking a picture of me.
It's the whole thing's freaking weird. I mean, they have combines in every sport.
Not really. There's no combine like that in baseball.
No, there's a combine in every sport.
There is?
Well, I know there's one in hockey, but it's not as extensive and has as many eyeballs on it as the NFL. But, Michael, every single one of those players do it gladly because they want to get drafted. I mean, how many players can actually say, nah, I'm good? A handful? But most of these guys are working their tail off. Brady had to work his tail off. Look where he was drafted. In the sixth round. So... yeah, you can feel like they're being exploited, but they all want to be because that's the way to get into the NFL.
That's the only option, though.
It's the only option.
If that wasn't a thing, and the answer was get these guys on tape.
I know it looks awful, right? It's like a meat market, like Michael said. But you're investing a lot in drafting a player, and don't you want to know everything about them?
You know what was interesting? I was listening to Mel Kiper Jr. today on with... Rick and Dave, he said this is one of the worst drafts he's ever seen. He said there are some good players. He said if you pick in the first round, but in terms of a deep draft, he said, I've never said that about a draft, but he said, I'm saying it about this one. This is not a great draft.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Let me throw something at you for a second. I'm thinking of athletes that I love. How would Larry Bird have looked at a combine?
I know, right?
Imagine,
or any player back
imagine
in the
Larry
day.
Bird taking his shirt off and getting in his underwear to combine. And then you're like, all right, Larry, let's see how high you can jump. Let's see how fast you can run. You'd be like, this guy sucks.
Yeah, they don't measure heart.
Yeah. And he's one of the greatest players of all time. And guess what? You wouldn't have needed it because you watched him play basketball. It's just weird.
Guns N' Roses.
Oh, Don loves him.
Headed to MetLife Stadium on August 15th. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets all week with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael Kay Show. It's all from Live Nation. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Actually, I'm giving it away right now. Not only are they on sale, but if you're caller number 20 at 888-987-ESPN, you'll score a pair of tickets brought to you by Live Nation. You go to Ticketmaster.com for tickets on sale now. And for full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. So I looked at the Yankee schedule, and I didn't know this was happening. I thought it was going to be a real stretch. But the Yankees are opening on March 30th on Thursday at the stadium against the Giants. Then they have a game on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
April 1st. So I know it was a 4:05 game, and I've been trying to score tickets, or one ticket. I'm going to go myself to see Springsteen at the Garden.
You want to?
That's really.
Yeah, I'm going to go by myself.
You're going by yourself to see Springsteen in the suite?
No, I whatever ticket I can buy, I will go by myself.
I got to tell you,
because Jody is hosting a charity event in our town, so she can't go. But I thought that I had to do that game, and I'd be rushing there, but that game got picked up by Fox. So now I will drive down like a gentleman, myself, alone, and go see Springsteen. Because I don't want to talk with people. I want to listen to Bruce Springsteen.
Well, take a mortgage out.
Why?
These ticket prices are ridiculous.
You know what? He's not going to do... He's 72. He's not going to do that many more tours.
Yeah, so. But still... He should be embarrassed.
What?
I mean, this is supposed to be the artist for the common man, and some of these ticket prices are just outrageous.
All right, so answer me this, my friend.
Yeah.
Who's charging less than him?
I don't know.
Well,
I think it's
still
an issue all over the place.
He's
I'm
more
just
affordable
saying.
Than anybody.
You know, we keep talking about like the younger generation. Think about this. Trying to get young kids back into baseball and music. Man, I was a kid when I was like 18, because my father was not a rock and roll fan. My mom liked rock, but she wasn't passionate about it. How many concerts I went to, bands that I saw at the Meadowlands, Madison Square Garden, all for the price of working, you know, part-time at a pharmacy. And you see some of the ticket prices. You just wonder how kids can, like, get into music and sports. Like, how can you afford to go?
It's expensive.
You're talking about $600-$700 for a ticket. I mean, face value.
You got
it's
to tell
ridiculous.
Me, but I'm just like a little miffed by Michael.
Why?
Because like I know you love the boss,
love him.
But Don, follow me here. It's just like it's hard to picture him by himself. Like he's that into music that you'd want to sit by yourself.
Well, okay, so if
for an
I'm
entire
not going
concert
with Jody, right?
Yeah.
Who would you suggest I go with?
Mike
Don's
Breen?
Not that big of a Springsteen fan.
What about Mike Breen?
Mike's working.
I don't have any problem with him going by himself.
Doesn't surprise you?
No. Well, no, because he went to movies by himself, and I used to kill him for it.
What's movies?
He would go to movies.
Movies.
I was coughing. I'm sorry.
I legit thought movies
no.
was the name of a club or something.
No.
My,
well,
I was killing Mike because
I thought, a movie.
I thought it was off brand. I'm like, Michael's a brand. It looks bad if he's sitting alone in a movie. But if he wants to go see Bruce by himself, I've gotten old. I've matured out of that opinion.
No. Go to a movie by yourself. And guess what? I've seen Janet Jackson by myself, all right? So I have gone to a concert by myself before. I get it. I don't know if at this age I would do it, especially for an artist I've seen a million times.
On my birthday, I went and saw Canucks Red Wings by myself. Well, who am I to have an
opinion? You've never made a better point.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.